Jack Harbaugh joins us on Sports Byline, former player and also coach who is the father of the first pair of brothers to serve as NFL head coaches and the first pair of head coaching brothers to face off in a Super Bowl, John and Jim Harbaugh, of course. He played professionally for one season with the American Football League New York Titans, and he has coached football at every level, high school, college, and pro ball. You know, Jack, I consider you to be a teacher when it comes to football. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, we had an old coach back at Bowling Green State University where my wife Jackie and I went to school, and he, the lesson that he taught us was that coaching and teaching were synonymous, that to be a good coach, you had to be a good teacher. You had to take these thoughts and ideas that you had in your head and transpose those into those with whom you were working, whether it were your own children or some other children that were playing the game of football.
You know, I hear the word teaching, and it could mean a lot of different things. What was your philosophy about teaching football?
Well, first of all, I think the fundamentals of the game was what it all kind of was about, blocking and tackling, those types of fundamentals. It was a thought process that you had, a system of offense, a system of defense that you wanted to put into place. Then on a very systematic and a very, very prepared way, you go about transferring those ideas to those that you work with. And there are many ways to do it. You pass out notebooks. That's one way. You can have teaching tapes and films of previous years and previous days that you go back and you review. It can be walkthroughs where you take the players out on the field and put up an offense and a defense, and then walk through those fundamentals that you want to teach. And but it's a daily thing, an hourly thing, and something that to me is the root of teaching, whether it be football or music or science or history or whatever you have the chance to work with young people with.
That's always part of the foundation, I think, the teaching aspect of it. But nowadays, it seems like maybe motivation has come into play a little bit. Well, what are the differences from the beginning when you started coaching football to today that is maybe a little bit different?
Well, I think, back, 40, 50 years ago, the one thing, and I was thinking about this as we were discussing the teaching aspect, but it just isn't the game of football. It's values and morals. Again, I think I bring this from my father. There were three nevers in your life. You never lied, you never cheated, and you never stole. I mean, any time that you did one of those three things, the discussion was over. You couldn't be trusted, and you were in deep trouble. So we tried to impart that with my wife Jackie and I with our children, which each and every team that we worked with in the 45 years that we were involved in the coaching profession, all the way from junior high school to the collegiate level, that was the foundation. You just never lied, never cheated, never stole. And then the other thing is that you didn't do, you didn't make excuses, you didn't point fingers, you didn't alibi. That wasn't part of the process because no one's really interested in the excuses that you bring. They're only interested in the work and the way you achieve and how accountable and responsible you are.
Let me ask you about your playing career. You played for Bowling Green State University, and in your junior year, the Falcons finished that season 9-0. They were named the Small College Division National Champions. How good was that team, and why were they good?
One thing, we had a great coach. Dwight Perry was his name. And the interesting thing is when Woody Hayes took the coaching job at Ohio State University in 1951, the first coach he hired was Dwight Perry. Dwight was a high school coach at Upper Arlington High School in Columbus, Ohio. And when Woody came to Columbus and took over the head coaching job at Ohio State, he was told by those in the city that Dwight Perry was the very best high school coach. To make inroads with the high school coaches, he hired Dwight. And when Dwight left Ohio State to take the coaching job at Bowling Green in 1955, the first coach he hired was Bo Schembechler. Bo was his offensive line coach at Bowling Green for 1 year before he left to go to the Northwestern University. So when you mention Woody Hayes and Dwight Perry and Bo Schembechler as it relates to Ohio football, I think you've said it all. So I had a great one. Some other advice he gave me at Bowling Green, he, he taught a class, a football 101 class, and the first day of class he said, how many of you in here want to be football coaches at some level? Of course, every hand in the room went up, and he said, well, let me tell you the three things that you have to do in order to be a successful football coach. Number three, you got to have a love and passion for what you're doing. Number two, you've got to work hard, because I've been around most of you guys for a year now, and I know you're not smart enough to outsmart anyone, but you can't outwork anyone that you coach against. And number one by a long stretch is marry wisely in this profession. And I took that to heart. Met Jackie at Bowling Green State University. We've been married 52 years as of November, and we moved 17 times in this profession. We coached at 14 different places. And on those moves, she got kids in school, kids out of school, bought houses, sold houses, did it all. And without her, I couldn't have been a part of that great profession of coaching and teaching and doing what we were able to do in maybe the lives of some other youngsters.
I was interested, Jack, in seeing that you played professionally for one season. That was 1961 in the old American Football League for the New York Titans. Now, I have a lot of friends that did play in the AFL at that time. And back in New York, they used to tell me some great stories because, you know, the AFL was, while it had Lamar Hunt as a founding father of that league, it still had some problems with some of its franchises. What was that year like for you?
Well, first of all, there's a misconception. Right? It wasn't the New York Jets, it was the Buffalo Bills. I was drafted in 1961 by the Buffalo Bills. And the other misconception is it wasn't a year, it was 3 days. I went to Aurora, New York, right outside of Buffalo, and Buster Ramsey was the head coach. The owner is still the same owner. It's the same.
Ralph Wilson.
Ralph Wilson had the team back then. And we practiced on a polo field with no lines. I mean, and there had to be at least 120 guys. I mean, they had guys from everywhere, buses in and buses out, and I lasted 3 days. And there was a guy named Albert Dubinion. And I know you can't remember. He came from a little college, I think it's Defiance College, in Ohio, and they called him Golden Wheels. And I think he's in the Buffalo Bills Ring of Honor, but he could run faster than any man I have ever known in my life. And I happened to be a defensive corner, and it seemed like every day in practice, the guy I lined up over was Albert Dubinion. I go to sleep at night, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, and Albert is running past me so fast. I have never seen a man faster. And when I got my final cut that football, professional football, I should pursue another life's work. I credit Albert Dubinion with moving me on into coaching.
Well, thank you for correcting history and Wikipedia as well. We got a couple minutes before we have to break here, but you coach football at every level, as I said, high school, college, and pro football. What's the commonality in being successful and enjoying coaching at all those levels?
I think pretty much what Dwight mentioned. I mean, you had to have a love and passion for what you wanted to do, number one. Coaching at junior high school at Canton, Ohio, back in 1961, when I came back from my Buffalo Bill experience, was about as enjoyable as any time I ever had, because we had these little 7th and 8th graders, and they didn't know if the ball was stuffed or pumped. They didn't know how to put on the uniform. They didn't know if the big number was in the front or the big number was in the back. They didn't know, you know, anything about putting in the pads and putting on the helmet and all that. And you started from just dressing them, you know, basically, then out on the field, and you taught them what the offensive side of the ball was, what the defensive side of the ball was, and then you get into the fundamentals of blocking and tackling, and then all the discussions and the talks that you have on and off the field. Come to find out, the best coaching is done off the field. The best coaching is done one-on-one, away from really the practice field and the game field, and getting to know those youngsters. And I can still remember some of them, and I can remember their names and can remember their faces back then. And then each time you progress, you go into high school, then you're a head high school coach, then you go into the college level, then you're a coordinator, then you're a head coach. And it's the same basic thing is those things that we love and passion for the game. You know, you're not going to outsmart anybody, so you better outwork them. You know, fundamentals, blocking and tackling and overcome scheming sometimes and all the different groupings that we have in football now, those are all great things and steps up as it relates to the game of football, but still it's blocking and it's tackling and it's being in the right position. So it's just a process, and enjoyed every second of it, and we did it as a family, and most of the things that we tried to teach in as far as the game of football, are the same fundamentals and principles that we taught in raising our family.
Jack Harbaugh is with us on Sports Byline. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about his sons, and we'll talk a little more football as we continue on America's Sports Talk Show.